Well, it's a blessing to be here today. I'm always excited to come here. I mean, I know this is just my second time, but the joy that's in this house is just, it affects you. It has impact on your heart. And I just so appreciate you, Pastor John, and all that you do and your labor. And how many years now have you been ministering on this mountain?
Since 1982.
Good gosh.
36 years.
36 years. That is amazing. Well, I just, I'm just very appreciative of the fact that you allowed us to come, Pastor John. And I feel like it's family. I mean, it's just a family atmosphere here, isn't it? I feel like it is. And I think, you know, you've created that. You know, you've created that kind of a culture. You have allowed that to be developed here. And I say to you, guard it with all your heart. Guard it with your heart because it's precious. It doesn't exist everywhere. And you know, I can just feel like, you know, for anyone who wants to come up here, like, there's such healing in family, right? Amen. Like, you can be real. You can be honest. You can be a real person. You can come in with all your brokenness or whatever. And family will guard you and help you, right? They'll help you walk through things. And that's what you guys are doing here. And I'm just so honored and blessed to be a part of that. So thank you so much, Pastor John. What I'd like to do, let's just pray for a minute. And then I have some words that I feel like the Lord's given me to give you. And then I feel like I want to do some just prophetic pronouncements and words that we'll give you as well. And then after we do some of that, then we'll have some time where we're going to just pray. Because I feel like from some of the things that will be released today, there's going to be breakthrough that's going to happen.
Amen.
In your life, okay? I really believe there's going to be breakthrough. There's going to be emotional things that are going to take place in the soul that God is going to just cause a shift to take place for you, and you're going to have victory. I really believe that's going to happen, and that's going to happen. Some of it's going to be through just the preaching of the word, and some will be during the prayer time. But I believe that's what God has for us this morning. So, Lord, we just come before you, and I thank you. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this congregation. I thank you, God, for the family that's here. I thank you, God, for Pastor John and Mary Ann, Lord, and their family, and the worship team, God, and the elders that you've put together here, God, as a body that's knit together to supply every joint, supplying the needs of this body. And Lord, I ask you for there to be an increasing flow of the glory and the goodness and grace of God coming from every joint that supplies to minister to this body. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing and knitting it together so that it might be strong, and you're causing a strong body that, because you're going to add to it. And Lord, I thank you for the adding too that you're going to bring. I know it comes in your season, Lord, but I just thank you that that's your purpose. That's part of what you're doing, because your body is always increasing. You're always increasing and adding. So Lord, bless this body today. Lord, I ask you for the breakthrough that they need, the things that they've been crying out to you for, God, for years and years. Lord, some that they've labored with for many years. Some they're not even aware of, Lord, but today you're going to release them. And God, I just thank you for those breakthroughs, and bring it to pass now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if you want to turn, like, as a context to Romans chapter 8, I'm going to minister out of, I'm going to use this as my context, or the diving board, and then we're going to dive in and go a little deeper. So hopefully it'll be fun. and if I could get maybe a bottle of water or something, or a glass of water, that'd be great. I apologize, my throat's a little dry. the last night, the Lord he woke me up in the middle of the night, and I was just meditating in bed for, I don't know, maybe 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning on all these things that God was talking to me about. And it really has to do with this message. And and after a little while, I kind of said, Lord, would you like me to get out of bed? start writing this stuff down, because there's so much download you're giving me. I don't know if I can catch it all. And he said, no, you just lie there. It's okay. It's all right. And then finally got back to sleep. So my throat's a little dry, and I apologize, but I can't apologize for him whispering to me and me listening, because that's what I was doing. So always good. Well, let me start with this thought, and then we'll get into Romans 8. You know, from the very beginning of time, when God created all things, and he began speaking into existence, the earth, etc., and he put everything into space, and, you know, there was a rebellion that took place. And the rebellion that happened had to do with identity, okay? You know, the enemy, our enemy today, he thought he should be something else. And so he had an issue with identity. And so he rebelled. And, of course, you know the next thing, he's cast into the earth, etc. And then God began, you know, to make man, and he made him in his image. He gave man an identity. It was his own image is what he gave him. But when Lucifer came into the garden, he began to attack, and he attacked at this level. He attacked that identity. Right. He attacked at the identity of who God was. He did it just with a question. You know, the question was, has God said? And in other words, he was saying, well, are you really sure that God's telling you the truth? He attacked him, and he was calling him a liar.
That's right.
He called him a liar there in the garden. He attacked his identity. And that's what he's been attacking from the very beginning. God's identity and your identity. Because he came to steal your identity too. Why? What's up with this guy? What's his problem? Because he lost his identity. And that's what's going on. A lot of these battles you see taking place in life has to do with identity. Either your identity of knowing who God is, or the identity of who you are. And there's so much deliverance and liberation that comes to the soul when you get those two things right. Right? When you get the identity of who the Lord is right, and you get the identity of who you are right, then guess what? You step into freedom, and you step into what God created you for in the very first place. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Romans chapter 8, if you just turn there. And then starting in I'm just going to start in verse 20. And I'm going to read from the King James Version, because there's some parts of that language I just really like. But if you have another version, just follow along. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The expectation of all of creation is waiting for one thing, that the sons of God might be manifested or revealed as to who they really are. Whoa. That you might finally step into who you really are. That's what all of creation is waiting for. All of heaven and earth, all the angels are waiting for you, for it finally to dawn upon you that you find out who you are. Yes. That you really know and you understand for why God created and you and put you where you are in this earth. That's what everything's waiting for. And then in verse 20 it says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, to emptiness, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself, all of creation itself, shall be delivered. See, all of creation is going to get delivered from the bondage of corruption and emptiness into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. What is all of creation groaning and travailing for, that you might get to the point that you understand who you are, that you're the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and the identity for which He created you to be, and that you fully are walking in it, and that there's no more hindrance stopping you from being who you are and who you're created to be. So not only there's creation, they're all groaning and waiting for that. And for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise also the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself is making intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So creation is groaning for you to get this revelation. The Spirit of God is sent within you, and it's groaning for you to get this revelation. And not only that, but if you look further, and in verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ himself groaning and travailing, praying, interceding. We have the Holy Spirit moving, travailing, interceding. We have all of creation groaning, travailing, and interceding for one thing, that you might finally know who you are, that you might have that, you might understand your identity in God for what He's created for you to be. And when you finally get it, guess what? The kingdom of God gets ushered into the earth. The kingdom of God begins to take over. The kingdom of God gets to begin to be revealed. So here, I mean, think about that. Everything is waiting for you to figure out who you are. We're all waiting. Sometimes what happens when you're growing up, moms and dads who didn't fully understand their identity, they project onto you their misunderstandings. Right? And then you as a child, you take on that misunderstood identity. And some people, they wrestle with things like that all their life. You know, I really feel like the Lord wants to heal a lot of emotional scars that moms and dads pass down, you know, from one generation to the next today. I really feel the Lord wants to do that. You know, if you, and I'm not, I don't want you to, you don't have to acknowledge who you are, but I know there's abuse that's happened physically and just the mental abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse that's happened in people's lives because of misunderstood identity. But I feel like the Lord's saying He wants to heal that today, that He wants to restore who you really are. And how He really sees you. Because of those abuse things that happened, there was a rewiring in your mind took place, that you have confusion about God and confusion about who you are, you know. And God wants that to be removed, because, see, when that gets removed, then the manifestation of who you really are can happen. And the presence and the power of the Lord can move in your life and through your life in a much cleaner, purer way. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome that we could get free from all the things that kind of hinder us and block us and keep us from really understanding? You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he said He created them in His own image. And He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then He also says there, you know, go and have dominion over everything that's taking place. So when God made you and I, He gave you and I His own image, His own. And what was that image that He gave? Well, I don't think it's referring to like the size of what he was, but I think it was just referring to his character. He gave you his character. He created you in that image. He gave you that. And then he said, go and be fruitful and multiply. Okay? So, and now many people, when they look at that scripture in Genesis, they begin to think about babies. And I think it is true that that was one of God's principles, to have children, to multiply physically. But physical multiplication is actually very limited. Even when you think about physical multiplication, you know, the most that a woman can ever have in her life is, you know, maybe 30 babies, if you really just got after it. You know? Now, I know that sounds like horrible to some of you ladies in here. We're not advocating that. Is the record 60? Oh my gosh. Lord bless that woman wherever she's at. Yeah, I suppose if you had twins, right? I suppose if you could have triplets every time, they'd be, oh my gosh. Anyway, that's a lot of diapers. I wouldn't want to see that happen. But when you think about multiplication, you know, in the physical realm, well, okay. You know, like in America, the number of multiplication is typically like two kids, right? So two come together and they have two and they end up as four. So two, you know, so they multiply by the number of two or a factor of two. My wife and I, we've had four kids. So the two became six. So we multiply by a factor of three. You know, maybe you can get up to 30. But again, that's limited. But now I want to talk to you about what God is also after as far as multiplication. Because when he gave you his image, he said, I want you to go and take that image and multiply it throughout the earth and have dominion. In other words, have impact and effect on everything that's taking place in the earth. Well, he was talking about his nature, his very presence, who he is. And he says, I've given you that part of me, and I want you to take that and multiply that throughout all the earth. Now, I can multiply by a huge number. Like, say, for instance, you know, I go to a mall and I open the door for somebody and I smile at them. I say, hey, Jesus loves you. Right there, I've had an opportunity to multiply and to take the love that's inside of my heart that comes from the Lord, because it doesn't come from any other source. The devil doesn't have love. That comes from God. I can multiply that love to that person. So I've multiplied at that point in time. But then say for instance, that I have many people witness me doing that. So then it multiplies beyond just a time factor of one. It multiplies by more than that. And then if I'm speaking to several people or I'm in a situation, you know, where I'm having that kind of an impact, you know, I can multiply that much more. Let's think about for a second, Billy Graham. How many times did God take what God gave him and multiply that throughout the earth? Millions. Millions. See, God isn't just after a whole bunch of babies. He's also after the increase of his image to be filled in the earth. And what does the scripture say? That one day, this is going to happen. The whole earth is going to be filled with its glory. How is that going to happen? Beloved, it's got to happen this way. You've got to know who you are. And you've got to be multiplying his image here in the earth so that his impact will have effect on everything that happens. One day, that's a desire that our God has. One day, the whole earth is going to be filled with his glory. Guess what? I'd like to invite you into a ministry opportunity. I want to invite you into causing that word to happen, filling the whole earth with his glory. That's your ministry. That's really your ministry. You're supposed to be multiplying that. And that's what God gave to Adam and Eve in the very beginning. And that's what the enemy came to steal. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he's ever been about. He wanted to take man away from that. He didn't want God's image to be multiplied. He didn't want God to increase. He wanted to increase. Well, let me tell you something. There's two increases that are happening on the earth today. There's only two. Either you're multiplying the image of God, or you're allowing the image of Lucifer to continue to multiply through your life. And you and I are agreeing with that and what's going on. So, which would you rather multiply? Which would you rather see increase? You know, we've got to get with the program. You know, we've got to begin to understand who our God is and who we are to be. You know, you won't have confidence in doing what it is that God wants you to do until you actually understand who you are. Amen. You won't have confidence. You won't be bold. You're supposed to be bold as a lion. My sister in the yellow, she's got some boldness there. I mean, that rolled me over. But we're supposed to be bold as a lion. So look, that's an example. You know, you've got to get bold. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know who you're supposed to be so that with boldness and clarity of voice, as Pastor John was saying earlier, you might step into everything that you are and proclaim it. Amen. You know, and help increase it and help cause the glory of God to be filled here in the earth. So that was one of the thoughts I wanted to tell you about. And then I also wanted to share with you some scriptures about what God says you are, okay? And let me just pull up my notes for that real quick. And so, someone get that phone and tell them to get down here to church real quick, because the Lord has a word for them. Amen. Amen. So give me a second, if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Oh, there it is.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, let me start with this thought. You know what's funny about living on the earth is there's a whole lot of people who want to tell you who you are.
Right. Wow. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, my gosh. I mean, your aunt and uncle want to tell you. And your neighbor wants to tell you. You know, your elementary school kid who always picked on you want to tell you who you are. You know, the devil wants to tell you, right? There's a whole lot of people that want to tell you who you are. There's only one that actually knows. Did you ever consider that? There's only one that really knows who you are. Which one are you listening to? Are you listening to your aunt and uncle and their low expectations? Seriously, I'm telling you what, that holds people in bondage. I'm saying that a little tongue-in-cheek, but I'm actually being real here for a minute. Sometimes family members who don't have an expectation for the higher things of God, they put an image on you. And you take it. And you live that way, and you die that way. There are people that have been like that. Now, come on, let's be real. There's only one that knows who you are. The one who made you. The one who made you knows. The one who designed you. Can I tell you something? God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. He knew where he put you. He knows the beauty and the glory that he's created you to be. Amen? And I just want to encourage you, listen to what he has to say instead. Now, you got to catch yourself. You have to catch yourself. I'm going to tell on Amanda for a second. Because Amanda and I, we have the same issue sometimes. So, like, you know, the other day I was preaching this word. And I'm going to tell on you. I know you don't mind. Because we're buddies. And she came up to me and she said, "Well, I kind of felt like you were rebuking me with that word." And I said, No, Amanda, not at all. I was laying out vision so that everyone would catch the glory train that you're trying to get everybody to get on. Right? But you're wrestling with an issue that came from people saying things to you that didn't agree with what God was saying. And I have that same problem sometimes. I do that same thing. So I'm telling on both of us. See, we do that. We'll let shame get on us. We'll let guilt get on us. It's not supposed to be there, because that's not what God has to say. I love what Bill Johnson says about this. He said, you know, I can't afford to allow any thought in my mind that doesn't agree with what God says about me. I can't afford to allow that to dwell there anymore. And we've got to recognize when that's happening. You know? Now, a lot of times this stuff happens, you know, different little things will trigger it, right? Because it was kind of bred into us because, you know, we just didn't realize how important this battle was. This battle that's taking place in our mind, it's for the battle of who you are. It's for the battle of your identity. And it's for the battle of the identity of who you think God is. You know, we were doing the Lord's Prayer just a second ago, which I so appreciate. And I was actually thinking, I'm going to say something about the Lord's Prayer. And Pastor John said, let's all pray the Lord's Prayer right now. So I know that was God. But part of that prayer was this. He said, our Father who is in heaven. In other words, very first part of the prayer, he's identifying who God is. He's your Papa. Papa. Papa who loves you. Not the Papa who yells at you every time you make a mistake. No, the Papa that loves you, that made you, is the one who's holding you. And he says, our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And think what that word hallowed means. It means clean. Clean. Cleansed. Clean or cleansed. Cleansed be your name. Clean is your name. There's a whole lot of uncleanliness that we attribute to God that's not true. And that lie came not from the Lord, but from an enemy who planted it in you for some reason, for some misunderstanding that others had around you and started speaking that into your life. You know, we're kind of like, you know, you ever read that story about the ugly duckling? It was actually a swan, you know? And the swan was trying to go and be like the other ducks, but it just couldn't act like a duck because it was never made to be a duck. And all the other ducks, they were making fun of the swan and, oh, you're so awkward and you don't know what you're ugly and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, then that swan actually, you know, grew up and all became so beautiful. Then it realized who it was when it saw other swans, you know. That's why we need the body of Christ. People who have victory over things and areas that we need to get delivered from, because we can see, well, wait a minute. No, that's what I'm supposed to be like. I'm supposed to be operating in that freedom. No, you see that joy that's in Pastor John? I need to be getting there because that's what I need, because that, you know, the enemy's tried to lay me down with all this depression and all these things like that. And you know, my brother over here who knows how to worship God with enjoyment and excitement, I need to be like that because that's what I was really created to be. You see, that's why we need one another, because we need to realize, hey, wait a minute, I was created to be like this, not like that. You know, I need delivered. Amen. And so we need that. Well, there's only really one who knows who you are. Now, I want to tell you about some things that he says about you, who you are. Okay. And all this is in the scripture. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list of scriptures, but I just want to give you a few of them. Because I think they're power packed and can really lay us out. Let the Lord lay you out with some of this. Okay? Well, first of all, you are God's workmanship, and you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You are God's workmanship. God don't make mistakes. God doesn't have a broken mold that he made you out of. Right? Everything that he does is a masterpiece. Okay? And maybe I don't have the same way of revealing God like maybe Pastor John is, but I was made this away. And this is the way that needs to come out. Because there's something in the body that needs that.
Amen.
Right? And the same thing is true for you. You're God's workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what you were created for. You weren't created as trash or refuse, or he's just the one that we don't ever really think of. Put him in the back seat. Oh my gosh, I don't want to see that guy. No, that's not true. You were created by him, and he does not make mistakes. He always does the right thing. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing found in heaven since you are in Christ Jesus. You have every blessing that Jesus has. You have it right now. Start living like it, please. Amen? Start living like it. You have every blessing that Jesus Christ has right now. Because that's what it says in Ephesians. Are you going to listen to what God has to say about you? Or do you want to listen to someone else, what they say about you?
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
That's what he says. I'm just telling you what he's saying. This is another thing he says. You're accepted in the beloved. You're accepted. He didn't say, well, once you finally get over that stupid weakness thing that you got going on, then I'll probably let you in the house if your feet are clean. That's not what it says. He says you're accepted in the beloved. You are already accepted. You're already accepted. Throw out that shame. Throw out that guilt. Come on, throw that away right now. Let it go. And receive his acceptance. He loves you. You're his children. He doesn't have a plan B, by the way.
That's right.
This is plan A. He wants to fill the whole earth with his glory. Guess who he wants to do that through? Plan A. You. Plan A. He wants to do it through you. Amen?
Amen.
You're accepted in him. You are no longer a stranger, but you're a fellow citizen of heaven with the saints and members of God's household. You're not a stranger. You're not a vagabond. You're not an orphan one who just finally made it through the road or through the doors. No, no, you're not that at all. You're not a stranger. You're a fellow citizen of heaven and of the saints and members of God's household. That's who you are. You are an heir with the Father. And you're a joint heir with Christ. You are an heir of the Father. You have the right to inheritance. Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever been to Biltmore House out there in Nashville? Wow, what a huge house that is. You know? And that guy, he was so rich. He had so much money. And I'm trying, what was the name of that family? The Vanderbilts. Man, wouldn't you have liked to have been a heir of the Vanderbilt, you know? Well, not that part, but the money part. The money part. Yeah, no, we don't want that yucky stuff, but that money part, we're pretty good. You know, so much money, so much wealth, you know, and your inheritance is bigger than that. You're inheriting. Yes, he owns it all. I don't know about y'all, but at the end of the day, when all the chips are going to get counted, it's going like this. This is what it's going to look like. Just like, yeah, it's all mine. And daddy is the one who you have an inheritance through. It's all part of yours. You're a joint heir. Joint heir means that you get to inherit the same thing as that other inheritor. You're a joint heir. He said, don't be discouraged, because it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. That's what he said. He's going to give you the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom with Jesus. And he wants you to rule and reign with him. He wants to partner with you. Can you imagine that? He wants to partner with you. Little old you in Martinsville, Virginia. Little old me in Matthews. Little old Jacob. Well, he's not little, but, you know, tall Jacob out of Australia. By the way, stand up, Jacob, for just a second. Look how tall this guy is. Good Lord. This is what kangaroo eating kangaroo meat does to you. Vegemite and kangaroo meat, I'll tell you. You know, if you want to get tall, you know, y'all should talk with Jacob afterward. He'll tell you what his diet was. But that's right. So you're a joint heir with God, or a joint heir with Christ. You are reconciled to God. You're an ambassador of reconciliation for him. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. No, you're not. You're a supernatural being walking around here. Good gracious. All this supernatural stuff going on. That's who you are. And you're being made into a household for who at the end of the day? For the Lord himself. Because the Lord himself one day is going to come in and fill his temple. And you're that temple he's making for himself. That's what he says about you. Oh, I just love breaking off these ugly lies that the enemy tried to put on you. And I love telling you what the truth is, because this is the truth. You are chosen, ordained by Jesus to bear fruit. You're going to get to bear fruit. Hallelujah. We're fruit bearers. I'm an apple tree. Look out. Uh-oh. Pears are going to break out over here. Come on. I'm a fruit tree. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to cause things to come happen through me. Isn't that awesome? That's who you are. You carry that into the grocery store every day. You thought you had to go get fruit, but you got it already. You need to start selling some of that. Huh? Come on. Come on. Give some of that fruit away. It's Holy Ghost time. Isn't it? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You want to know something? There ain't no other place to get light except in you. Amen. Except in you. That's right. Guess who God's going to heal people through? Amen. It ain't going to be the Buddhists. Uh-uh. It's going to be the ones who know who their God is. Yeah. Because they're the ones who are going to be strong, and they're going to do many activities, many exploits in the earth. It ain't going to come through anybody else. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. It's already been won. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. The battle has already been won. You already have the victory. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. I don't know if you feel that way, but that's what God says. I would rather believe what he says and try to get there than say, well, I don't know about that verse. I mean, that doesn't seem even right. Well, I don't know either. It's a mystery, but that's what he says. So you know what? I know one thing. He's never been a liar. He don't lie. Well, if that's what he says, then that's what it is, right? Oh, I love, again, I love what Bill Johnson says about it. He says, you know what? If you don't happen to have any mystery in your walk with the Lord, then you have a really small walk. There are some things that you and I have to just go and say, you know what? I'm just going to receive it by faith, but man, I don't understand. Amen. Right? Amen. But let's just let God be God. Yes. How about that? Let's try that for a while. Yeah. Let's just let God be God. He says he heals people. Well, I don't know. You know, Pastor John, I've been praying for this person for 10 years and they've never been healed. I'm just going to stop. Well, that's not the way to think. All I know is that Jesus said that we're supposed to pray for the sick. Yeah. Jesus said that we're supposed to heal. Jesus said we're supposed to cleanse a leper. Jesus said I'm supposed to raise the dead. Are you raising any dead yet? Come on, let's get there. You know, he says I'm supposed to deliver. I'm supposed to bring deliverance. Well, sometimes it don't work. Well, you know what? Keep going. Fake it till you make it. Right? Fake it till you make it. Well, just keep moving at it. Keep believing what he has to say. Because, I don't know, somehow you're going to probably get there. But not if you quit. Don't quit. You're a part of the body, you're part of the bride of Christ, and you're making yourself ready for him. Amen? Now, I want to leave with this last thought, and then I want to start praying. One time back in the 1800s, when was Napoleon on the earth? It was the 1800s. The Battle of Waterloo?
That was the one in Russia where they defeated him.
Okay. 1812? Okay. So, Napoleon, as he was, you know, doing his campaign and stuff like that, he ended up in China, not to fight, but he was there. I'm not sure exactly why, but anyway, he was in China, and he was observing the culture and the nation there. And he came to a conclusion, which I think is really interesting. He came to this conclusion. He said, there lies a sleeping giant. Leave it alone, lest it wake up and shake the earth. Can I suggest to you that you're a sleeping giant? And that when you finally wake up in the full understanding of who you are, you're going to shake the earth. Not only are you going to shake the earth, you're going to shape the earth. And you're going to cause the glory of God to move in unprecedented, unimaginable ways of which he had created you for from the very beginning. Isn't that amazing? Amen. So that's, I have more words there, but I feel like I should stop there.